And take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Turn to two passages of Scripture. I want to, first of all, look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78 in one hand and Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the other. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 7. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much already for the songs we've sung. We thank You for the Word of God that's been read. Already, Father, Lord, we sense it working in our hearts and our minds, beginning to direct us in the direction You would have us go tonight. And we pray that the Spirit of God would be our guide and our counselor tonight. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen our homes tonight. I pray that, God, You would encourage the parents. I pray that, God, You would inspire them. Lord, I pray that, God, You'd give us not only the truths that are in these texts, but Father, give us the spirit of those truths in our lives on a daily basis. Oh, Father, we pray that, God, You'd bless this church as we seek not only as families, but as a church to pass the wonderful workings and Word of God to the next generation. For, Lord, these words clearly proclaim that we've read that, Lord, if we're going to be prosperous in that which You've led us to do, Father, Lord, part of that prosper, Lord, is dependent, or prosperity is dependent upon how we teach our children. Lord, I pray that You'd give us a greater burden and a longing, Father, Lord, to tell our children of the wonders and works of our God. Father, we love You and we thank You for all things You've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Dearly beloved, some of the things we'll be preaching on tonight, I'm sure some of you have heard. Some of you have been in churches for years, and I'm sure that some of these things, if not all of them, are very familiar to you. But like I mentioned on Wednesday night, much of the ministry is bringing God's children to remembrance, is bringing those things up that God's children know and are acquainted with, yet need to be reminded of. And so therefore, I pray that you won't be too familiar with them in such a way that they don't encourage and inspire you tonight to examine yourself some more deeply to see if you are truly teaching your children as you ought. And I pray that we would be encouraged by tonight's message. And I promise I won't be too long. We have a meeting afterwards, and so therefore I'll try to keep it as short as possible. But we want to give the Lord liberty, the Spirit liberty, to do as He pleases tonight as well. In the book of 2 Timothy, Paul wrote of Timothy, he said, "In that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Dearly beloved, though the Church of God is the pillar and ground of truth, it is within the confines of the Christian home that such divine truths must first be diligently and faithfully sown and cultivated. I said sown and cultivated. You can't just sow it, you have to cultivate it. Just like a farmer, first phase is planting the seed, and yet he must cultivate it after he's planted it. And beloved, there's where the labor comes in. Putting the seed into the ground is nothing, but it's cultivating his land afterwards, keeping it protected from all those things that would harm the crops. And so he cultivates that. And beloved, that's why I say that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. And yet, beloved, these truths need to be sown and cultivated within the confines of our homes if they're going to be successful. In the verses that we've read this evening, both in Deuteronomy as well as in 2 Timothy, as well as in Psalm 78, lead us to believe that God will bless His people in measure how we handle the truths He's given us in passing them on to another generation. I think that's vital for us to understand as God's people. I think we understand that to a certain extent. But read those passages of Scripture again and others. What we do with God's church and concerning the next generation has much to do with how God will bless us now. If we're not faithful in passing those truths on to the next generation, the Word of God teaches us that God will limit His blessings upon His people presently. Beloved, I believe if more churches were aware of that, we would put more prayer into cultivating such divine truths in our children, reaching out to that next generation, and not simply our own children, but as a church, reaching out to children in general. I thank God for all the children we have in our church. We could basically thank three families for the majority of them, but I thank God for all the children we have in the church, and yet we have a community full of children that could really use our help. And so I hope that our burden goes beyond the limits of our own and reaches out into the community. A church has always been blessed that seeks to sow those divine truths amongst the next generation. And that's the impression we get from Scripture, dearly beloved. It starts in the home and with our children, with the next generation. The divine exhortation here in our text is serious, with the emphasis on teaching such truths to our children. Sowing the precious seed of God's Word while they are yet young and before sin gains much ground. That's why the Bible emphasizes children. Sow the seed while they're young. Amen? Before sin gains much ground. To train up a child in the way that he should go while his Adamic nature is yet in its youth is much easier, believe me, than when that same nature matures in its depravity. There's still Adamic in nature. Ask any mother the fits their sons or daughters have for simply no reason at all. The pride and the stubbornness. We don't have to teach them to be Adamic in nature. They are Adamic in nature. But, beloved, it's a lot better to sow the seed while that Adamic nature is still young. Because when it begins to mature in its depravity, it's going to be a lot more difficult. So the Bible emphasizes a young age. Some parents have asked me, when is the right age to begin? As soon as possible. I've heard of parents, as soon as the baby came home every night, they would sit in that baby just weeks old. They would stand over or sit over the crib and begin reading God's Word from the very moment they came home. Well, they're too young to understand that. It's possible. Possible. But the Bible emphasizes why they're still young. And yet even in its youth, the sinful nature makes this great task often very difficult, and our need of God's grace essential. Nothing is more trying sometimes for a mother than having to stay home all day long with a child that happens to have one of those bad days. You'd like to say the terrible twos, but maybe they're not even in their twos or fives, but when you just can't seem to, sometimes it's a very difficult task and it's very trying, and God bless our faithful mothers and their patience. Amen. And for the husbands who pray for them and understand them when they come home from a long day's of work. But sometimes it's a very trying task. I know sometimes as a father, I'd come home from work and I'd wonder why, you know, you was home all day long with the children, and I've been out in this heathen world. How could you have it worse than I could? Sometimes dealing with those small Adamic natures can be very trying and difficult all day long. And we as husbands and fathers need to realize that. Sometimes that's even a greater trial than dealing with those out there in the world. You don't believe me, ask your wife sometime. Not all days are like that, but there are some. We can thank God that God has given us some guidance and some instructions in His Word on how we can train up these small Adamic natures. And it begins in a young age. And here in our text, we have such divine instructions and guidelines. We have in these divine instructions here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have a threefold truth concerning the manner and method of teaching our children the things and truths of God, the sowing of God's blessed truths in their youth. A threefold cord. And I won't spend a lot of time on the last two, but more time on the first. The first of all, the measure of our success or failure is going to be greatly dependent upon our own relationship with God. Amen? Look at verses 5 and 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind or might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them. You see, that's the very first step. That's fundamental. That's essential. If we're going to be able to train up our children in the way they should go, it's the foundation of all three of these. Our own relationship with God. Secondly, our efforts must be diligent and consistent, not slothful or half-hearted. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Diligently, consistently, no matter what you're doing in life, you should always be seeking ways to diligently teach your children the truths of God. Implying the truths in their daily lives. We'll get into that a little bit later, but our efforts must be diligent and consistent. One of the major problems, and I don't want to hang on here too long, one of the major problems parents have is we're not consistent. If you're not consistent, your child will never learn. He'll know your boundaries. He'll know your limits. You've got to be consistent in teaching your children. And thirdly, we must ever keep such divine truths before their eyes and in their hearts and minds by means of repetition, remembering. Verses 8 and 9. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates, that the children are always reminded. Repetition. Repetition. That's why we encourage Scripture memorization, and I'm sure many of you parents do. Why? Repetition. It drives it deeper in. So those are the threefold truths tonight that I want to just briefly look at. And like I said, I'm going to look at the first one longer than I do the last two. The last two will only be briefly. First of all, the most important of the three is that the measure of our success or failure will be greatly dependent upon our own personal walk and relationship with the Lord. Verse 5 and 6 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day, they shall be in your heart. Beloved, this is essential. Without this first one, you'll never be successful in the second, or the second and third. This is essential. And I believe this is where many parents fall short. They think if I just give them the letter of the law, if I just hold my Bible studies and I have my family altar and I read the Bible, give them a little Bible story and send them along their way and pray and say how lovely Jesus is. That's not what he's talking about. Much of our success or failure is going to be dependent on our personal relationship with God. As from the heart flow the issues of life, so too must all our instructions to our children flow from our great love for God. They will sense that. People know, even children know and realize what we admire the most. They do. They know what you admire the most. I laughed with my own children at one time. We didn't have children while I was lost. My wife was smart enough to say, as long as you're in that condition, I'm not going to have children with you. And as soon as we got converted, God gave us children. And I remember in school, our daughter had to write a picture, do a picture about her parents. And root beer back at that time was, you couldn't get it in Germany. So root beer was like Reese's peanut butter cups. It was vital, essential for living, making it through a year. So a lot of churches would send me some Reese cups throughout the year, and wonderful. I know that sounds carnal, but boy, it was good. Until I came to America one time, and a church found out about it and gave me and Steve a huge box from Sam's of Reese's, and we stayed up three nights in a row eating them, and I kind of lost my appetite for Reese's. But she had to draw a picture and frame it and brought it home. And I like root beer. Well, she was too young to spell things out, so she showed a picture of what Daddy's job is, what Daddy likes to do. What does your father like to do? And she showed me, a lot skinnier than I was, behind a pulpit. And on the list she said, he likes beer. She meant root beer. And so those were two things that struck out in her mind. She knew Daddy loved to preach. She knew Daddy liked root beer. Children aren't as stupid as they sometimes appear to act. I think we all know that as parents. They know what you love. They really do. And if you love God the way it says here, it's so much easier to teach your children. Not a superficial love. Not one with just words, but a love that's shown in works and actions. That's what he's talking about, with all your might. If we don't have that, the other two are going to be vain. And actually falls under diligence under the second one, but beloved, the way that we respond and the way that we act towards the things of God shows them how much we love God. Let me give you an example. When we read our Bible, when they see us reading Scripture, when they see us praying. There's an old Southern gospel song that was pretty good, but something like Daddy Did His Fighting on His Knees. Pretty good old Southern gospel song, but it was basically the child remembered his daddy being continually or constantly or always on his knees before God, and that had an impression on that child's mind that prayer must be awful important because Daddy spends a lot of time in it. That book must be awful important because Daddy and Mama spend a lot of time in it. Church must be awful important because Mama and Daddy sure put it pretty high up in their priorities. Do we? Or do they get the sense that the Word of God's read occasionally? We pray at meal times. And do we allow small hindrances to keep us from church? You say, that doesn't influence my children. You better believe it does. If you show inconsistency, it's all of them. If you show inconsistency in your love, it's going to show them that God isn't really that important because you don't make sacrifices. If you really did love Him, you follow my train of thought? With all your heart, all your mind, He says, with all thy soul, with all thy might. You see what he's saying? So actually that consists of all three. We have heard with our ears, Psalm 41, 44, and Psalm 105. Listen to this. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou ditched in their days in the times of old. What's he saying? God, their father's boasting about God. Son, daughter, God is good. Let me tell you how God has dealt in our lives and moved in our lives. Let me tell you how good God is, what He's done in my life, how He's preserved me and loved me and boasting about God. We have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us. And then Psalms 105:2, sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Beloved, that which we love is expressed in our lives and in our words and in our actions. And children see that. I say that because we must not be content with merely doing a formal Bible study, giving them something to read, or reading something to them. But like the text shows in our next one, diligence, consistency, even love, they should hear from our lips constantly the praises of our God and how good He is. But you know what most children sometimes hear when parents come home from church? Rather than hearing the praises of God, they hear the problems in the church, and the children are sitting listening as mom and daddy fight and argue or complain about the church and how this should be done and that should be done. And the children grow up thinking, well, church must be a miserable place to be in. People always just fight with one another. Instead of emphasizing the fact that we met with God today and it was wonderful, God blessed the preaching of the Word, the singing of the psalms and the hymns. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to go to church. What did you learn in Sunday school today? Well, tell me, I'm interested in what you're learning. And define that, explain that to me. And what did you learn in service? We used to have parents, when I first got saved in churches, and I'm not really so much against that. It sounds maybe to some people legalistic, but they had their children write down notes from the sermon so that when they got home, they'd say, now what was preached on? And the children would say, well, again, I'm not saying that should be a rule and regulation, but that's not a bad thing to implement in your family. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. It is the greatest privilege and offers the greatest joy to instruct the next generation in the wonders and works which God has wrought in our lives, and that in a lively and compassionate manner. Telling our children what God has done in our life. Telling them the wonders and mercies of God and how He's moved. That's what He's talking about. Our fathers did tell us of the works of old. Oh, they told us about the crossing of the Red Sea. Oh, every night we'd sit down and say, Daddy, tell us again how your God, our God, divided the Red Sea and you walked over on dry ground and the walls of Jericho fell. And beloved, we should be talking to our children about the wonderful works of God that He's done in our own lives. And using every occasion we have, every occasion in life, when you come home or during the day and events come up, instead of being so wrapped up and caught up in the affairs of life, maybe here's a divine instruction you can sit down and tell your children and explain to them about how God works and what He's doing. So that our children begin to understand that we do love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. And that He's worthy of our praise. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, religious conversation need not be dull. And indeed, it should not be. I remember a pastor telling me one time, some of his Bible studies, when he got finished reading the Bible, he'd like to have a question and answer session. I'm sure some of you have done that at home, and maybe still do, but how many books are in the Bible? How many in the Old Testament? How many in the New Testament? What was Cain's brother's name? And they would just make a kind of a game out of it, and they'd spend some time with it, and they would go far beyond just simply sitting down and reading the Scripture and say, did you understand? Okay, good, let's pray and you can go to bed.
or Daddy coming home from a hard work, maybe just kind of down a little bit. Little Jimmy jumps up on the lap and said, "Daddy, what's wrong?" "Well, it's been a hard day, but you know, God has been good to me, son, and He's given me," using every occasion, every situation possible, looking for opportunities to declare unto the next generation the wonders and works of our God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When thou sittest, when thou walkest, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, every moment of the day, all the time, whatever you're doing, seek to tell the next generation about the wonders and works of God in a compassionate, fervent way. People know what's in the abundance of our heart by the things we love to talk about the most, don't they? Beloved, that not only applies to children, that applies to even adults. You know how many adults, I'm not saying that God's sovereignty is limited, I'm not, but there's also a human factor involved in what I'm fixing to say, but I know of many adults that are lost in the family, and yet they're hindered or hindered from coming to Christ because of the problems and situations in the church hindering them, and they just, you know, our adversary seeks all sorts of occasions to stumble up a sinner. We should give them no vantage point. We should give them nothing. And that even goes for your children. If there's a situation in the church, it's not hypocrisy, it's called wisdom. If there's a problem in the church, don't speak about it in front of your children. Speak about it amongst yourself as adults. Why? Because you could be hindering them. Especially if you're talking about the church. You impart to them thoughts about people that maybe they shouldn't have. Maybe they don't know the whole scenario. Maybe they don't know the whole situation. What are you doing? You're planting seeds of divisions and problems and schisms and criticisms. Maybe use wisdom. Our children should hear us continually praising God for His mercy and grace, using every occasion to show them the goodness and wonders of our God. You know, for when the excitement and love for God and His truths begin to grow cold in our hearts, our children become the victims of our indifference. They become the victim of our indifference. When we begin to get cold and indifferent, and the love for God is getting colder, we're not consistent on reading the Bible or having family altar time. We're not consistent in praying with our children. We're not consistent in going to church. And so our children grow up with the idea that it doesn't matter if I diligently read my Bible. It doesn't matter if I diligently pray. It doesn't even matter if I always go to church. Didn't seem to matter to my parents. They seemed as though it was nothing bad or wrong. That's when our love grows cold. We have to realize, dearly beloved, we have to realize that our actions speak louder than our words. And if we love God like Deuteronomy 6 says, they're watching our actions. And they're seeing and knowing what we hold in great esteem. And that's going to impress them much more than simply the letter of the law. Amen? Remember Eli and his sons? The Bible says he restrained not his sons. He got cold and indifferent. And God cursed his family line. That's what happens when we lose that love for God. That's why this first point is the most essential of them all. Much of our success or our failure is going to depend on how much we love the Lord our God, our own personal relationship with God. It'll make our teaching vibrant, excited, lively, And it'll excite our children. That they'll want to hear more about God. They'll want to know more about Papa's God, Mama's God. Because we're so excited about what we're talking about. May God give us grace that that excitement, that love, be not feigned, hypocritical, but genuine and real. That's why it's important that we renew our fellowship with Christ on a daily basis, if not so for ourselves, but for our children. God, let them see Christ in me today. Lord, help me to show Christ to my children. Help me to use every occasion today to show them the wonders and works of God. Help me, Lord, to use anything that I can. Help me to look for opportunities to tell them about the wonderful love of my God and His mercy and His grace and how good He is to His own children. That, Lord, they might grow up realizing that God is a merciful, loving God. But, Lord, at the same time, those situations that are discomforting, where it talks about God's justice and God is holy and He's a wrathful judge, using those as well in my discipline. That when I discipline my children, I'm instructing them at the same time. Do you know why I chastened you? Well, let me give you an example. Look over in Hebrews 12. Let me read it to you. You know, God chastens me. What? God spanks you? Yes, He does. Why, Daddy? Well, I'm not always right either. Daddy's not perfect. But let me show you why He does. Because He loves me. So if God spanks me because He loves me, I'm spanking you because I love you. Just an illustration. You see what I'm talking about? It's using those occasions to show our children the wonders and works of our God. Let me hurry just real quickly on these last two points. That first one is essential, and I felt the need to stress that more so. These next two we'll quickly do in just a matter of minutes. Our efforts must be diligent and consistent, not slothful nor half-hearted. Look in verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We've got to be diligent and consistent. It's like I said in the beginning, one of the major problems as well is a lack of consistency in the parent's life, that the children wonders if God is worth serving. Bible reading, prayer, even church going. Beloved, I would encourage you, never give your children the idea that it's okay to miss church. That's not being legalistic. That's where we meet God. That's where the Word of God is preached. And we will make every effort to be there, because especially Sundays, because God has called His people together. That's where we meet and we praise God. So your children grow up with this mindset: I must, I will, I long to be in the house of God on the Lord's Day. Consistency. I'm sure it's nice if you're also faithful on Wednesday night services, but especially Sundays. Impress upon your children the importance of that one day of the week set aside to worship God. You have to be diligent. He said, no matter where you're at, you're sitting, walking, lying down, it takes diligence, beloved. We have to be diligent. It is impossible to teach a child the ways of God if we don't take the time to do so. To inform the understanding is a work of time and must be given in proportion to their need. It's a work of time. That's a spiritual principle that we apply with everybody, especially new believers. Amen? To inform the understanding is a work of time. Diligence. One of the most difficult things for parents to do nowadays is be consistent in having their family meet for family worship. We let it slip one day. We let it slip this day. And then suddenly we don't do it anymore. Or we haven't done it for a while. And we get the children together and we try to implement it again. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take faith to do that. And yet you must. You say, well, we're not complete at home. My partners, you can still sit down on a regular basis and open that scripture and teach it to your children. Didn't Paul say that his grandmother and mother had the same faith? They need to see the consistency in that. To be diligent. Diligence is something that we all need more of, isn't that right? And thirdly, verses 8 and 9, by way of remembrance or repetition. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Our children should be constantly reminded. The Word of God, the truths of God, should be constantly brought before our children repeatedly in everything that they do. That's why scripture memorization is healthy for children and for adults, but healthy for children. We need to be more diligent in all of these areas, but especially, beloved, again, I didn't give a lot of time to the last two, and I hope and pray that you'll work and build on that, because I thought the first point was more essential for us tonight. We get that down and we practice that and we're able to see the importance of that, these other two will be no problem. Amen? But a lot of it's going to depend on our own relationship with God. I pray that they would be able to see that. That should the day come when they depart or we depart from them, that they'll have that testimony. We'll leave a legacy that they'll say, you know, my parents might have had a lot of problems and a lot of mistakes and weaknesses, but I'll tell you one thing, they surely loved God. And they kept telling me there was a good reason to love God. Amen? So may God give us grace and mercy and wisdom. And again, tonight is real basic, practical things. And like I said, when we began this series, I wasn't seeking to hit every point on the family. We'll do that as time goes by. But I wanted to just, I felt that these messages were essential for us at the moment. And as God leads, we'll come back to the family and look at a few other things. But I hope and pray that God would help us to realize that the prosperity of His people presently is going to be greatly dependent on how much we sow the truth for the next generation. God forbid that God's truths die with us. God forbid that they're buried with us in the grave and we don't have a next generation to take up the banner. Amen. Leave a legacy for your children. God is good. He's merciful. He's holy. He's righteous. When we do that, dearly beloved, our children shall be trained up in the way they should go. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Thy Word. And Lord, I pray that You take these few short minutes that we've used tonight, and I pray that they would be inspiring and encouraging to us. Lord, I pray that, God, You would help our families be with our dear, sweet mothers. Lord, I know sometimes it's very, very trying. And but Lord, we love them and we thank You for their faithfulness. And God, give them the strength and the courage. Father, we pray that, God, You'd help the husbands to help in this great task by supporting their wives and taking on the responsibility as well as teaching their children. And Lord, we pray that You'd strengthen our homes, for strong families means strong church. And Lord, in closing, we pray for our church as well, that we might have a continued greater burden for children, for the youth, not only amongst ourselves, but in our society, in our community. So many children are running around, and Father, there's no love at home. There's just wickedness and sin and drunkenness and drugs and fightings and brawlings. And Father, I pray that our burden would go beyond these walls and into the community, that Father, we would pray, Father, that You would use us to reach the next generation. Father, we love You and we thank You for all things that You've given us. Now be with us as we enter into our meeting. Give us wisdom and guidance, direction, unity of spirit and love. We thank You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.